My father was a writer. He wrote for Life magazine. He had a column in the magazine called The View from Here throughout the 1960s and 70s and 80s. And I have a show, a theatrical show called Surviving Twin, where I take some of his writing and combine and connect it with some of my songs. And I'm going to do a little bit of that for you. Now, as it turns out, so hey, Father's Day is looming. So here's a part of a column that he wrote about 1988 called Father's Day. It's always seemed like a zero holiday to me. Another commercially pumped up occasion to sell greeting cards or neckties or long-distance phone calls. 41 million on Father's Day. More on Mother's Day. Aloud, I profess to find it beneath my notice, but as it rolls around each June, I find myself wondering if I'm going to hear from each of the kids, and I get ready to sulk if someone doesn't phone or write or show up. I call the roll in my head and tick off tender memories of each. Looking back, I suppose one of the problems I had with fatherhood was that I attached a kind of divinity to the role. Not that I consider myself all-knowing, but I did have this notion that a really good father would have the answers to just about everything and the power to make all things work out. I think it's likely my own father, who died a relatively young man, suffered from the same delusion, even when he seemed most confident and implacable. I would bet he was full of doubt that his controlling family style was just a cover-up for the fear he didn't have much power at all. Maybe my experience is unusual, but I can't recall having given a single serious thought to what it would be like to be a father until I was 21, married, and my first son was on the way. All my dreams up to then had revolved around escaping boyhood and its strictures, or around sex, or around learning everything about everything, or being recognized, even acclaimed as a full-fledged person with limitless future. When that first son was born, I spent all night in the waiting room with another expectant father. He was about 40, almost twice my age then. So was his wife. They'd been married for many years. This would be their first, too. He and I talked and drank coffee until dawn, while our wives labored unseen down the hall. He told me how carefully they'd planned for this child, how many earlier disappointments they'd had. Their experience was so astonishingly different and so much more complex than my own, in which a child seemed to come almost spontaneously out of marriage. These people really wanted their baby. We did too, but that was a whole other order of things. Then, as we talked on, their doctor came out of the delivery room and told my new friend that his wife was all right. After the most awful pause, he added that the baby, a boy, hadn't made it. Until right then, when that calm and kind man, so ready for fatherhood and so cruelly deprived of it, put his arm around me and told me he was sure our baby would be okay. I hadn't realized how close all life is to sorrow.
Careful, there's a baby in the house, and a baby it will think and do what it wants to until you get at school. Be careful, there's a baby in the house, and a baby will play for real. If your I love you is an IOU, don't expect to get a good deal. Look out, mama, look out, dad. Your bundle of joy will not be had. If the blanket is blue, if the blanket is pink, yeah, watch what you do now. Watch what you think. Be careful, there's a baby in the house, and a baby can spot your shtick. All a coochie coochie coo is a lot of poo poo when you spread it on that thick. Be careful. Baby is better than smart. You can waddle through all the stuff you do, yeah. Never mind your big head start. Be careful, there's a baby in the house.
Thank you. That's an old song of mine, pretty old.